Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks so much for joining us this week. So my motivational quote is by Dan Miller, and Dan says, "Those times of transition are great opportunities to look for recurring patterns in your life and make adjustments to build on the good and reduce the bad." So sometimes, don't you wish that you could have a do-over like when you were a kid for different parts of your life, or maybe you feel like you misfired or derailed yourself in some way? That would be absolutely awesome if we could roll back the clock and get that second chance. Well, guess what? You can create a new beginning anytime you choose. Lately, it seems like a lot of us are going through some sort of transition. Hopefully, transitioning into a more authentic version of ourselves. Yet, trusting the process and surrendering into it may not be as easy as we hope. During the next half hour, my wonderful guest, G. Brian Benson, Brian, and I are going to break this topic down of navigating through transition in life and how to come out the other side in a better place. Now, Brian's going to share his story and experience to finding his purpose and moving through transitions in his life. We're going to discuss his amazing book, which is a must-read, Habits for Success, Inspired Ideas to Help You Soon, which is an Amazon number one bestseller. And his book also won an award in 2019, Book Excellence winner in the motivational category. And we'll see if there's any other updates. And just some other cool facts about Brian. He's an award-winning and number one best-selling self-improvement and children's book author, actor, filmmaker, coach, and TEDx speaker. As a four-time Ironman triathlete and cross-country bicyclist, Brian knows the value of hard work, never giving up on his dreams, a message he shares with audiences through each of his creative expressions. So please help me welcome back for the show, second time, Brian. Thank you so much for being on.
It's a pleasure to be here, Connie. Thank you for having me.
And I know I said this last time, Brian, but you are just like the coolest dude out there. You know, you have the physical, you have the spiritual, you have the mental. You're like the whole, you're creative, you're funny. Definitely, I'm going to give Brian's website at the end. You got to check out some of his videos too. Really cool stuff.
So thank you.
You're just a cool dude. I love having you on.
Thank you.
So let's jump in.
Yeah.
What does a transition, new beginning that I put in, you know, in my intro, if you could imagine what it could look like? I'm sure it's a lot of different ways, right? It could be messy, empowering, confusing, fun, exhausting. Share what you feel transition means.
Well, I agree. It can be a lot of things. Sometimes we initiate it. Sometimes it's initiated for us. Mm-hmm. And so depending on you know, what the precursor is to get us headed in that transition is, that will obviously dictate whether it's, you know, messy or not. I mean, it's, you know, you could lose a job and that could be really stressful and scary. And, you know, how am I going to, you know, pay rent and take care of my family and that kind of stuff. And so, I don't know, my transition, I mean, I've had some like that, but I think my major one was, you know, when I left my family business on my own, but it that didn't make it necessarily easier because I had no idea what I was going to do after that. You know, I intuitively trusted that, you know, I didn't feel like I was growing there anymore. And I wanted, I felt like I had a gift inside of me that wanted to come out. And so I needed to explore that. And so That was a little different than a messy one. However, it still was scary and it still forced me to kind of dig deep and really see what lay next.
You know, what's interesting, like what you're saying, is you self-reflected, and even though you had a great job, right? You worked with your family, so it wasn't like you're working with a bunch of jerks, I'm assuming. So,
right.
Let's assume that, right? Well, we all have families. But things were going well. It's not like, oh, my life is awful, I got to make change. Yet there's this little voice, and I think we all have that voice at some point that says, wait a minute, there's got to be more. I'm not sure what that is. So I commend you for a couple of things. First, leaving that safety of this business, right, that you grew up in, ultimately grew up in. So it was comfortable. I'm sure it was safe. It fit you well, like an old pair of jeans. And yet you took the leap of faith to listen to that little brain that's saying, wait, there's got to be more. How did your family react?
Well, I'll say what it is. So in case people are wondering, it was a golf center. We had a driving range, a retail store, and a nine-hole par three course. And it was fun. It was a fun place to be. And, you know, 99 times out of 100 people that came there to spend money with us were in a good mood because they wanted to go golf and, you know, whatever, release stress.
Yeah.
And so my dad, he was understanding. I mean, he it was interesting because, you know, he said that he ultimately wanted me to be happy and he understood. And he told me that if he could do it all over again, he probably he also was an insurance salesman. And so the golf center was kind of a thing that we did on the side, which I ran. And so he said, you know, if he could do it all over again, he probably would have chosen to be like a golf club professional at a course. And so he understood my need to maybe go and see what else was out there for me. So that was interesting.
But that's a cool response that he self-reflected, right? And kind of understood, you know, you look back, it is what it is. You can't go back and change it, but that he kind of gave you that support is just really cool. So you clearly have a cool family. Now, I would, yes, I know. I'm judging your family here. Can you see that? Hey, they produced you. They did something right, too. That's
all I'm saying. Haven't met Crazy Uncle Larry. No, I'm just kidding. There is no Crazy Uncle Larry.
Right. Now, I would imagine that there are many levels of transitions or new beginnings, and I know you specifically went through, like, multitude. Can you just elaborate on that? Because I know people are going through transition, and I think if we can lay that out for them, they're like, all right, I'm halfway there. Or, okay, I'm not a weirdo or abnormal with what I'm going through.
Yeah, so you want me to kind of lay out my process or some of the different things that I did? Sure.
Yeah.
So after I told him that I wanted to leave, it ended up taking a year because we decided to sell it. And so I was okay with that, but it was kind of bummed because I really wanted to just hit the road and see what was next. And so that last year was kind of tough for me in that I kind of fell out of balance and I was just totally done, felt done being there. But I've always tried to be the best version of myself. So one day I was feeling out of balance. And so I sat down and thought, hey, why don't you write down 5 things that will help you during this process? And so I did that and I put it on a piece of paper and I stuck it in my wallet. And every day that I started to kind of feel funky, I'd pull it out and make sure that I was doing those things. And it helped. And so my intuition screamed, expand the list and write a book. And I'd never done anything like that before. So I honored that, and it just kind of came through me over the course of a couple months toward the end of that year. And I found someone to edit it and someone to do the layout, and I self-published it. And so that was just the first of many kind of mini transitions amongst this huge transition that I went through. But when the book came out, it didn't sell very well because I didn't know how to market a book 10 years ago, and I was terrified to speak in front of people. But it won an award. And I started thinking, you know, if I want to share this message, I need to overcome my fear of speaking. So that began another kind of mini transition. And so I then moved to Reno, Nevada. My son lived about 30 miles away in the Tahoe area, and was just entering high school. So I went down there to be near him for that period and just to kind of reinvent myself. And I, knowing that I needed to overcome my fear of speaking, I signed up for a couple of community college speech classes, and I did Toastmasters for a year, and I hired someone to co-host an internet radio show with me. I created an interactive workshop based around the book, and I thought I was being clever by making it interactive so I wouldn't have to talk the whole time. But I found out it worked really well that way, and it made the workshops all different each time I did them, you know, because I got input and we got to have the discussions. And I also took an acting class. And with no plans on acting, but I just felt like it was something that would help me stand up in front of people. So all these little kind of mini transitions. And, you know, as I started doing all these things, kind of I started getting a little more confidence, and maybe another opportunity kind of came my way, or I made a connection with somebody. And it just kind of kept leading to other things that I kind of had to gulp and say yes to, including the acting. You know, I didn't plan on acting. After I finished the class, I had a dream a few weeks later about this story about a street guitarist, and it felt really powerful. And when I woke up, I go, I better write this down. So I did. I then met a young filmmaker a couple weeks later and said, hey, I've never acted before. I don't know how to make a short film. but I think I have a good idea. You want to do it with me? He said, okay. So we filmed this little short called Guitar Man over the course of 4 or 5 nights in the streets of Reno, incorporating people that we came across. And it turned out really well. And it woke me up, just really woke me up. And I felt very empowered. And I was a closet guitarist up to that point. And so here I was doing it on film. And it did pretty good at film festivals. And somebody saw that and gave me the lead in their short film. And then I moved to LA 6.5 years ago. So all these little kind of mini transitions, just listening to my heart and my intuition and just kind of gulping and saying yes. And that was just kind of the start of it. You know, there's been many more since I've been here. But yeah.
It's so funny as I'm listening to you speak about that. You're so engaging and you have a nice sense of humor and you just have a nice, easy way about you, right? So to hear you say, get up in front of people, like, what are you talking about, right?
And
then,
no.
Yeah, and then, oh, I'll play the guitar on the street. I was a closet guitar. So people listening, I think the clear message here, Brian, is that, and the one thing you kept saying that I thought, yeah, this is how it happens. People would say, hey, I think you should come and do this with me, or hey, why don't you think about that? And these opportunities found you. Probably in the past, because you were a little more introverted, had you not been going through this transition, you might have said, "Nah, I'm good. I'm working with my family. I'm good. It's all
exactly.
good, right?"
So exactly. I was kind of in this little comfort zone of security.
It's exactly. How many of us listening are listening to you thinking, wow, people come up to me now and I go, no, I'm good. Thanks, but no thanks. And the funny thing is, as you said yes to the, and they were little things, but as you said yes to these little things, it really added up to this huge transformation for you. You know, number one best-selling book, you're on TEDx. You know, the go on his website, the Guitar Man video it's adorable. You are engaging in the people you meet on the street. It's just real. It's raw. If you had said no and stayed 10 years later, where would you have been now? It's just interesting to reflect back and say, if I didn't do that, what would have been the parallel universe that I'd be in now?
Sure.
Right? So,
well, I mean, I can only imagine I wasn't happy toward the end there. I mean, had I stayed another 10 years, I really would have been not happy.
Could you? But how many people, Brian, do you know that say, it's a job, it pays the bills. What am I going to do? I have people that depend on me. You know, I can't leave. That's too risky. Is it risky, or is it risky to not do what you love and find yourself and whatever your gift is? Everybody has different gifts that we're born with. You're not sharing it.
Sure.
And your gift was these creative venues, these all different venues for you. So I think it's tragic that I think the statistic on the Gallup poll recently, I think it was maybe 2015 or 16, Brian, they said 70% of Americans hate their jobs. That's a travesty to me.
Yeah.
How do you get up every day and do something you hate when, think about it, do something you love, right? So you were scared. Did you feel, even though you were scared, did you feel as you were going through this transition, like all systems go, or were you second guessing yourself? Like, you know, talk about that.
It kind of went in waves. Sometimes I kind of go, what the hell are you doing? And, you know, and then other times, like if I had an opportunity or I just felt like I was supposed to, you know, do the speech class or whatever, it just, that felt like an all systems go. It's just like I was being nudged to go and do that. And so I had to honor that feeling. Luckily I'm kind of motivated by that. You know what I mean? Well, when I was 3, I told my mom I was put here to inspire people. And so she reminded me after my first book came out. So maybe subconsciously I've always kind of known where things are headed. And to get there, I needed to do all these things to get myself ready and prepared and overcome my own self-worthiness. And you know what I mean? Just to learn and grow and become more self-aware. So it's been, I can't believe it's been 10 years. It's gone very fast, but there's times when it's gone very slow. And I've had a lot of learning going on during the entire time.
Yeah. It's not like you thought, okay, I'm leaving the business. Okay, let me start writing my ideas, you know, intuitive. Let's start.
Yeah.
And a year later, bing, bang, boom, what did you now? You know, there's this whole arc of, hey, look at all the crap that happened to me, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was not, I don't think it's ever really been easy. It's just, there's been times where, as I overcame things or stepped into something for just a little while, like maybe the TEDx, that fell into my lap too. Somebody called me up who I'd briefly met in Reno here in LA and said, "Hey, I'm putting this on. I think you'd be a good addition. Would you like to do it?" And I just gulped and said yes. And I had 3 months to get ready for it and to do it. And I'd never done any talks like that. And but I knew that I could do it. And so, but that was scary as hell.
Yeah.
And you know, it was an interesting 3 months. I mean, luckily I'm not a procrastinator, and I do not want to wipe out in front of people, and so I'm very prepared for the most part. And so I just worked really hard that first month in crafting a really good talk that felt like me. And then I just practiced the crap out of it for 2 months, in my apartment. You know, every time I went for a hike, I was able to do it 2 times, doing the loop and just practiced and practiced and practiced it, and forced myself to practice it in front of my acting class. And I just didn't want to wipe out day of.
See, and you're saying another important thing, because I think people think, oh, he's lucky. It fell in his lap. No,
I butt off.
Right? What? Yeah, you wish it was that easy. But one talk, 3 months of preparation. That's not taking things lightly. So, I'm hearing a couple of things from you that I hope the listeners are hearing. It takes effort. It takes a lot of work, and you have to be prepared. And I teach my classes and my corporate clients on sales. If you're not prepared and you're winging it, you're going to fail. You might get lucky once in a while, but overall, you're not going to have consistent success. So preparation, man, dig in and prepare and do what you got to do, because otherwise you're going to fall flat. Like you said, you're going to fall on your face. The other thing is you keep listening to your intuition. And I think people, because I call it self-reflecting, right? Going within and asking yourself, well, what is the worst that can happen? What if you do that? Do you want to do that? It takes time. It takes effort. See, again, to do all of that self-reflecting, which to me is part of preparing for what the future is. People are free to go inside. And I think it's dangerous, because you're just not living to your fullest, whatever that means to everybody, So what kind, this is real important too. Go ahead.
I will say that everything that I've created, whether it's the self-help books, the kids' books, the short films, whatever, they've all been extensions of my own self-growth process. I think this is number one for me, because I want to, be the best version of myself that I can be. And so all these things kind of happened because I was working on myself and trying to become more self-aware. So I always tell people, just start doing that and you'll be shown the way.
You'll be shown the way. Even though you don't see it now, you'll be shown the way. It's so interesting. So what kind of self-care as you, because this is stressful. Everything you're describing is not easy peasy, man. Right? Like you said, you have.
But it's worth it. It's worth it. I don't want to say it was like, it's been 10 years of just hell and being scared the whole time. It's not. I mean, there's all kinds of times when I'm just feeling very empowered and, just alive and
think of the people you've met too. Like, how cool is that? That you've come across people you never would have met had you never done this. Yeah, I would never have met you had you never done this. And I'm a pretty cool chick on the East Coast. Just saying, right?
Yes, you are.
East meets West. Again, I'm Connie Whitman's Enlightenment of Change, right? But this is important, what you're saying is it's effort, it's work, it's so rewarding, it feels good, it's empowering, you're on a high. I think you get a natural high from that self-growth when you do something you thought, I didn't think I could do that, and then you do it.
Oh my God, yeah.
It's absolutely the coolest feeling. What kind of self-care did you do? Because I know you're a big proponent of this, that helped you with each of those, like where you kind of got stuck or you were scared to death. What were the self-help that helped you through that?
Well, it's interesting looking back. I don't think it's any accident that my very, very first book that I wrote at the tail end of being in the business was on different ways to stay in life balance. So that really helped me become more self-aware for myself on what kept me in balance and what threw me out of balance. And so I've had those skills in my back pocket the last 10 years. And for me, there's a lot of things, but I really need movement. And so whether it's going to the gym or going for a hike, I need movement to help me just feel the best version of myself. And that is it does a lot of things for me. It can be a form of meditation. When I go for a hike in the woods, you know, I'm able to turn my brain off. And that's where I get a lot of my ideas, you know, for blogs or you name it. I'll just kind of voice them into my phone and email it to myself and boom, there you go. And, you know, so I meditate, you know, whether it's out hiking or at home, listening to music, you know, there's getting stuck in traffic. I mean, you know, it's just a choice. You can kind of do, you know, you can be frustrated by it, or you can just kind of try to put some music on or listen to something, or just do nothing and just self-reflect. But that getting quiet, I found in all those different ways, has helped me. That has really helped me hone my intuition and be able to listen to it in a stronger way.
Yeah, and again, listening to yourself, I find hard. You're in L.A. and Jersey. The traffic is just brutal. I think you're probably worse than Jersey, but it's brutal here at Parkway and Turnpike.
At least we have the sunshine to deal with it.
Yes, you do. You do. That's true. And I remember one day I was coming home. I was in North Jersey, so it was maybe an hour and 15-minute commute without traffic, which is a distance. So there was snow. I didn't even hit the gas pedal all the way down two of these main highways because it was creeping. It was creeping. And my kids had their awards dinner for hockey. My one son was a senior and he was getting an award. And I remember you have to make it home, but I'm thinking I have zero control. So my husband kept checking in. Where are you now? Where are you now? And I'm like, over here. We moved a mile since 20 minutes ago when I spoke with you. You know, this kind of thing. And he's like, what are you doing? And I said, I'm rocking out. I'm singing to the music. And people are looking at me like I'm on drugs in this car. I said, but there's two ways to deal with this. I could be a nervous wreck, white knuckle. And then by the time I get home, who's going to want to go to this awards dinner? Right? And my son deserves it. And I said, or I could rock out. And I'm singing and I'm reflecting on the day and, you know, all the cool things that happened today in class. And, you know, it is what it is. Well, I got home and they were like, you okay? I'm like, I just got to go to the bathroom. Because it took 4 hours to get home.
Oh,
so yes, you can imagine. But we have choices that you can make. And I think that matters too. So it's really important. What gifts, so in your transition, in your meditation, all the self-help, or not self-help, but the self-care you gave yourself, what are some of the gifts for you that popped out that you were like, where did that come from? Was there anything that jumped out that you thought, who the heck knew that I had that in me?
Well, I mean, kind of pretty much all the stuff that I'm doing, I really didn't know it was inside of me, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to explain it. It was for a while there, the first 3 or 4 years, 5 years, it was just kind of like this, almost like Christmas potentially every day, just kind of like on what new experience am I going to have, or, you know what I mean? What am I going to overcome, or what cool thing I'm going to be able to participate in. And so each thing I did, even though it didn't make sense at the time and it wasn't making me any money or anything, I like, you know, whether it's a short film or this or that, it just was cool. And when I first started writing the books, I kind of, you know, since I told my mom at 3 that I was put here to inspire people, I thought it was just going to be through books. And so when the movie thing happened, that's like woke me up into a whole different way. Like, wow, I can do this. I can do it in a whole bunch of different ways. And so that was really cool.
I love that you're doing kids' books too. What made you even think of that? Because your son is older, right? Your son is,
he's
a man.
He's almost 26. Yeah. So the kids' stories, I started actually writing those when I was at the golf center in the early 2000s with no plans on doing anything. They're almost just like a mental exercise for me, like putting a jigsaw puzzle together because they're rhyming. And it was just fun for me. And I really didn't plan on doing anything with them. But, you know, fast forward to a few years ago, I just thought, you know what, I've got these, let me take a look at them again. And some of them are pretty good. It's like, I'm just going to take the bull by the horns and just self-publish these. Found an illustrator and just put them together, since I kind of had experience of putting my first two books together and did it. And so that was kind of fun.
And did people resonate with that? Like, did the message within, I'm sure it was inspiring, right? Because that's what you, at 3, you were meant to inspire. So why not start with the kids? But the results, like, what were the results of that?
Well, I think, how do I say this? You know, so as all this stuff's going on, and, you know, Facebook is kind of new, and I started kind of getting a lot of new friends and stuff, and I'd share along the way. And so it's just like, you know, what's next, Brian? You know, and so I did the kids' books. And yeah, I think they did. I'm really proud of how they turned out. They're really good, and they're fun to do. And so, you know, they're labors of love. They're not necessarily money makers.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know... And yeah, so the first, you know, take a half step back. The first 5 years were this kind of all this awesome new stuff happening, and just kind of like, whoa, what else can I do? But then, since I kind of knew where I was headed, as I started to release stuff, I would my expectations got the best of me, and it would lead to some depression for a little while. Like, is this the thing that's going to spring me? Instead of just like really just staying in the moment and enjoying the process of creating. And letting it be what it's supposed to be. And I started putting pressure on myself after I started writing the self-help books to be really perfect and almost pious. And I lost myself, you know, because I'm a fun, silly guy. And so the last couple of years, you know, I became highly aware of that. So there's like 2 or 3 year span there where it was tough for me. And but now I'm having fun. I'm just getting back to just being me. And that's all I need to be. And just sharing and letting it take care of itself.
You see how we put that pressure on ourselves? Like you said, you wrote this book, and now, well, everybody expects me to be perfect because, you know, who am I to but that's our mental talk, right? Well, the world expects me to be perfect now, because if I'm giving advice, shouldn't I be perfect? Well, sometimes we have to take our own advice. We forget. It's a slippery slope like you said, you fell into depression. You had these expectations. Why aren't I making more money? Why isn't it going global? Why isn't it? And all of a sudden,
why not further along?
The process,
whatever. Yeah.
And who's to say what the timeline is? It's never, we're an impatient society, right? So that's another level that we have to contend with when we talk about self-improvement. What's next for you with all of these things? And do you feel, let me put that into two ways. So what's next for you from the position of, I feel like you've got your mojo, right? You kind of know what direction you're heading in. You're a little more grounded than you were, not grounded, but 10 years ago, you were like, oh, now I think you have a better grasp on, I'm going to try this and have more confidence to do it. So what's next for you that you're more deliberate in what you're doing, not just, let me wing it?
It's interesting. I think there will always be just a little bit of winging it, because I know where things are. I think I kind of know where things are headed. However, I've tried to let go of some of the control of it, because usually when we control, that blocks our flow. I've found myself. And
so
things have always fallen into place for me. And so I'm just kind of surrendering more now. But as far as going forward, you know, I know that I will probably write some more books. I don't feel like I want to do it now, because I released 2 last year, and it's just a lot of work. You know, I'm just kind of trying to market them now and what have you. But I started a podcast recently that's been a lot of fun, and also kind of I'm on the other end, like right now being interviewed, and so it's been good for me to be on the other side and a confidence builder. It's really not self-help oriented. I really am inspired by creative people, whether they're actors, athletes, authors, musicians, you name it. And so I just have a conversation with them and you know, dip into kind of some of the things they've gone through, because it's, you know, that just helps other people and gives them permission to work through the same thing. So I'm doing that. There's a brand new online TV network that just started up a few weeks ago called Awake TV. And it's kind of the first something's never been done like this before. It's basically live teaching programs 24/7. And right now they have over, I think, 70 or 80 teachers. And I have a show every Wednesday from 11 to 12. And it's a subscriber-based thing like Netflix. And it's $10 a month. And people can go in and watch shows live or archive them and also ask questions while they're going on. So Vimeo and Zoom teamed up together to do this for these people. And so that's been a lot of fun. It's videotaped. And so that was a little scary at first for me too, but it's all perfect.
Awake TV, what kind of topics? So that, because I love giving resources to my listeners. So what type of topics on that?
everything. My show is called Be Yourself to Free Yourself, and it's just kind of a catch-all for all things positive, inspiring, empowering, and I'll have guests on or just talk out of my, you know, share out of my books or what have you.
Love it.
There's all kinds of people on there. I mean, there's health and wellness, there's there's astrology folks, there's some psychics. I mean, it's just a little bit of everything, and they're all from all over the world.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm interested. I keep saying, who did I meet recently? And they're like, you should be on TV. I'm like, yes, I should. I should be on TV. So that is definitely on my bucket list. It's, you know, how the heck do you do that? Right up, I'll probably poop my pants the first time you go.
No. Well, it's exactly the same as what we're doing here. It really is. It's just
really?
Online. So
okay.
It's exactly the same thing.
All right. I can handle that then. That's awesome. And then the
yes,
last thing, we're out of time, but your podcast. So what's the name of the podcast? If my listeners are, they think you're cool and they want to follow you.
Thanks. It's called Habits for Success, and the podcast. And I've done 4 episodes so far, I think. And you can find it on any of the usual
Stitcher,
of podcast. Yeah. And I have a part on a TV show that's coming up, I think, early next year, called Sangre Negra, with Eric Estrada and Eric Roberts and a few other people in it. And so that'll be fun.
Get out of town. You have to let me know when that goes live so I can put it on all my social media feeds. Because now that people have met you, they're going to want to see that. So you have to let me know that. That's so cool. See, I started by saying you're the coolest guy on the West Coast, and now you're on TV, and you did a podcast. And here's the moral of the story for everyone listening. You know, we can all do what Brian's doing, right? We can all become the next version of ourselves, whatever that is for everybody. You know, maybe you don't want to be doing TV or a podcast, and that's cool. Maybe you don't want to be an author, but maybe you want to do something more local in a charitable sense. Go for it.
Yeah,
the idea
yeah.
is don't have the limiting belief of, oh, not me, I can't do that. It's good for Brian and Connie, but I can't do that. That's ridiculous. You can do it. You just have to, you know, and you said it before, I think, Brian, you said just one foot in front of the other. Whatever that is, it's movement forward. Just make the movement forward. You'll figure it out as you go along. And I think that's really the moral of our conversation today, right?
Yeah. Just work on yourself. Just get the self-growth process going, become more self-aware.
Yeah.
And you'll be showing the way. And you know, watch the expectations and just get out of your own way.
Get out of your own head too. I think we're our own worst enemy.
Get out of your own
head. Record play, right? I'm not good enough. I'm not funny enough.
Yep.
You know, I'm not going to play well enough with my guitar, whatever self-talk is going on. So guys, I know you have to be interested in my friend Brian. So go to his website. Mm-hmm. It's gbrianbenson.com. The book link, which I think, again, I read it, Brian, awesome. Tremendous tips in there that are like you can read it and apply it. They're not anything where you have to go out and buy and software. Just learn
it.
No,
I try to make it interesting and entertaining and
simple, stupid works, right? So not that we're stupid, but I think you simplify to say try this or try that. So real good how-to book as well. So habitsforsuccessbook.com. You could get the book there. And again, it's on Amazon and all of that as well, right?
that link will take you to Amazon.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then email, if you want to dialogue directly with Brian, go to habitsforsuccessbook@gmail.com. And if you have any questions for Brian, he certainly can address it. If you want him to be on your next TV show, he's available.
That's right.
I'm your new agent.
Hey.
You're a hoot.
All good.
Brian, thank you for being on. It's always fun. Yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah.
And I know it's super early there in California, but thanks for being on, having that wonderful energy that you bring to the table. And I hope my listeners learned a thing or two from your story. And I think the other thing is you have to have humor through all of whatever this development is that we each go through. You have to have humor through it and not take yourself too seriously. And I think you do a real nice job with that as well. So thank you.
Thank you. It wasn't always that way. Thank you.
We're works in progress. That's the reality. None of us are perfect. I always tease and say, I'm close, right? You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
None of us are perfect. You guys, my partner and I are still offering the free communication style assessment. Go to wisdomdecoded.com. Right on the landing page, you'll see it. It's a quick assessment, and you get a free report, and it gives you ideas of how you communicate, what your superpowers are, and also what your blind spots are. And the blind spots is where we can look and not beat ourselves up, but understand and say, well, how can I build on my strengths to get better? So hopefully that's another free resource that you guys can use. Thank you again, Brian, for just being an amazing guest.
My pleasure.
Always, always fun. And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that this thing we call change, it's really easier than you think to navigate. And again, my friend Brian, I hope he brought some tools and resources. Read his book, Habits for Success. Listen to the podcast, Habits for Success. All of these things are affordable ways for us to change ourselves. So I hope you use that resource wisely. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Everyone, I wish you an inspired week. Do one little thing to change and become the better version of yourself. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Brian.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.